Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Every year at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, we pause to remember those that have made the ultimate sacrifice so the rest of us may live in peace and reap the freedoms that so many have been denied. It's a moment to reflect on how we got here, what we are called to do to maintain this peace, and how we can exemplify a better world in our daily lives. Armistice Day, which originally commemorated the cessation of hostilities between the Allied forces of World War I and Germany, has become a time to honor those that have given their lives throughout the decades of modern society in defense of a peaceful and just world. Although conflicts still rage across the globe, we must not lose sight of what Remembrance Day signifies for many of us: life absent of oppression, and how we can ensure the wrongs of the past aren't repeated in light of political and cultural differences that we continue to grapple with. In advance of Remembrance Day this Friday, we speak with Padre Doug Campbell of the 11th Field Regiment. Stay with us.
I'm known as the Legion Padre, and I would be addressed as Padre Doug Campbell. Anglican priest, retired by profession, did a detour from parish ministry back in the late 80s, which I thought would be short term, but it extended to early 2004. Quite a 15, 16 year detour into the Canadian Forces, where I served in different capacities, but in the role of chaplain, initially to a reserve regiment in Guelph, Ontario, the 11th Field Regiment, and its claim to fame is the regiment served by John McCrae, the author of In Flanders Fields. So that was always my home unit. When I went full-time, I was at Canadian Forces Base Petawawa, which is about 2 hours west of Ottawa, and served there as part of staff to the chapel community. It was out of that I was identified to train and go overseas with the Royal Canadian Regiment. So after I returned, I served in a couple of roles, one at the Canadian Forces Chaplain School and Center, which is just north of Toronto, where I had a role in training chaplain candidates for the Canadian Forces. And from there, my last posting served at a recruiting center in Hamilton, Ontario, where I don't want to say the buck stopped at my desk, but there's a process that people go through who want to join the Canadian Forces. And the last stop is a military career counselor, which was what I was doing, and basically making the enrollment decision. So did that until early 2004, and then I hit that magic age of 55, where I had to retire at that point. That's mandatory. So and from there came out here. That's the whirlwind tour.
Indeed. Well, Doug, maybe you could tell me a little bit about some of your service. I know you mentioned to me earlier that you served in Bosnia.
I did.
What was your role, and what were some of the things that you and other forces were dealing with in that fray?
Basically, my role was to offer spiritual support. I had a partner, a Roman Catholic priest, who was there with me, but there were 1,400 troops, so we were busy people, and we also had responsibilities for families, you know, back home here in Canada. For example, there was a death in the family. I would make arrangements for that soldier to go home for a small period of leave to be with the family in a time of grieving and to be there for the funeral, of course, and then, you know, to arrange for them to come back. But for the most part, it was just sort of the day-to-day ministry of presence to people in a variety of camps throughout the country. I mean, I was one end to the other in Canadian Forces camps, visiting the troops. Again, along with my counterpart, of course, we did Sunday services in the different camps. So that's essentially what kept us busy. There was a lot of travel for me, just to get from place to place. So yeah, that was essentially our role, and you know, one of keeping up morale, keeping spirits up in those different places. Soldiers who would have, you know, issues, difficulties with maybe things that were happening at home, you know, connecting them with a phone so that they could, you know, speak with families. That was, you know, a daily event. I should say a nightly event because of the time change. You know, a lot of those calls happened around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, so I was never in bed early.
I guess another thing, you know, that comes to mind is, you know, we spoke last year, you know, about what you were feeling and what you were hoping to communicate to the crowd at the ceremony at the cenotaph after, you know, a couple of years of isolation, you know, pandemic and whatnot, and people being away from each other. But this year now we've been out and about. Things are a little bit calmer in that respect. But there's always this very poignant reminder on Remembrance Day, of course, of what has happened for us to enjoy, you know, this lifestyle and for us to, you know, be able to live, you know, for lack of a better term, in freedom with our friends and family, for the sacrifice of those that have gone before. So what, you know, year after year, you always speak at the ceremony. What for you does Remembrance Day mean? You know, why do you keep coming to communicate your words to that crowd? What are you trying to communicate every year, year in and year out?
I've always said that I start with the same question in preparing my address. This year, by far, it took me the longest length of time to get it ready. I suppose because there's so much noise out there, as I put it, division and fracture, sadly, in our country, and that kind of strikes a very deep chord with me, because it stands in contrast to the sacrifice of Canadian soldiers and their legacy, which, you know, I've enjoyed. You know, I'm 73 years old. I've enjoyed that throughout my life in this country. And in spite of our divisions, in spite of polarized opinions that are prevalent out there, I mean, pick your issue, whether it's vaccines or whatever it may be, you know, you need to be, I think, a little more cognizant of the blessings that we have in this nation. So I have some concerns about those divisions. And I think the real need to pause and to embrace, you know, the legacy that our fallen soldiers have given to all of us, including freedoms in this country that are not enjoyed in so many others. So that's been a lot of my focus in my address this year. You know, we're free to think. We're free to worship. We're free to express views in a fashion that invites good conversation. I think we just need to make a greater effort to do those things. I'd like to think that we're still a united people in this country, whatever our differences are. And it's really our soldiers who have emulated values that allow for a celebration of unity. I just don't think we've worked hard enough at that, and we let differences and polarized viewpoints and such things sort of get in the way of that. So that's my biggest concern this year in addressing the community. And I made a statement, and it'll be read in my address at Remembrance Day, that I think if there's a message from our fallen soldiers this year, it would be, please turn the volume down. There is hope. So that's, I guess, the punchline in my address this year.
Just the last thing for you, Doug. Obviously, you know, you mentioned it's some there, but, you know, to you, what is the essence of Remembrance Day?
I think it's a time to be quiet. It's the only national holiday whose ceremonial centerpiece is 2 minutes of silence. And especially in turbulent times, it's time to pause, to reflect, and use that time of quiet to embrace the conviction that we can move forward in hope and peace. I mean, we can do that. In spite of divisions, we can do that.
All right, Padre Doug Campbell, thank you so much for giving us some of your insights on Remembrance Day, and we look forward to hearing from you on Friday.
Thank you so much, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.